Good morning, everyone. Hello, welcome. Thank you for being here. Today is Thursday, June 29th. We are running a little bit behind, but we'll catch back up. Well, welcome to the Water Supply Committee meeting. We do have full committee members here present. We're excited to be here and looking forward to doing a little bit of work here this morning. Our first item is the approval of minutes from June 5th meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're off and running. Our second item, public comments. This is the time for anybody to say anything that's on their mind. Thoughts, comments, concerns, pontificating, words of wisdom, anything from anyone. We are delighted to have a full house here to talk about water supply this morning. Billy Barnhill, good to see you. So, anything? Very good. Nothing. Moving along. Gary, nobody wants to talk this morning. Let's talk about one of our third items here, one of our favorite items here in town of Mount Pleasant. In case no one's heard, there's been a new breaking news release that we've decided town of Mount Pleasant to fill in that creek because it's become too controversial. But Shem Creek will be going away. That is some of the fake news that we've heard. But we do have some water quality issues that have been longstanding that is not fake news that we want to talk about and continue to talk about ways in which we can improve water quality, not only at Shem Creek, but around the state, something that's near and dear to all of our hearts. Along with that discussion, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention most recent discussions within our town, some concerns regarding quality of water as it relates to some very legitimate concerns from some mothers who have children that have had some cancer issues, and we'll briefly touch on some of those issues as well. So those are important matters to all of us. But Clay, let's jump right into our water quality discussions as it relates to Shem Creek, and I believe you got a presentation for us,
right? And thank you for entertaining us again. This is something that we've been talking about. Obviously, Shem Creek's near and dear to the hearts of all Mount Pleasant.
Clay, before we jump into that, would you just maybe just a recap, just for the records, some of our stakeholder key partners as it relates to that, as it relates to the water keepers, or is that going to be incorporated in those? Beautiful. Beautiful.
So here we go. Oh, I would be remiss. Mount Pleasant Waterworks was just recognized as being one of the best places to work in South Carolina in the second year in a row, so we're quite proud of that.
That's awesome. Congratulations, guys.
You're here.
Recruiting people, I promise.
You want to report, point out some of our staff that's here with us this morning?
Let me see who all's here. Nicole Bates is here. Deanna Elling is here. I think Councilmember Byrne is here. Commissioner Byrne. Diane Lawrence is here. I think that's everybody.
Great. Thank you, guys.
So I think everybody saw David Slade's article here recently about the creeks and rivers posing health threats following rainfalls, and so I think that kind of sparked me to say, well, I think we probably just need to circle back with water supply, where we are, and just kind of keep this item at the forefront of our strategies here. This is in the report, interesting information about how the water keepers, Town of Mount Pleasant, Mount Pleasant Waterworks, is cooperatively working together, doing sampling in Shem Creek. There's three samples taken. We run one. Trident Labs run one. And the Water Keepers has another lab run one. I think the college might be doing it for them. But they sample every Wednesday. And these are the results of, if you look at June 14th, does this thing have a laser? June 14th, this is the sample results in this scale as well, how water quality standard is around 104 bacterial colonies per 100 milliliters, and on June 14th there was no rain in Shem Creek Boat Landing, which is right there at Mill Street. The sample results was well below that water quality standard, so the water quality was very good that day. However, a week later, following a half-inch rainfall, the Shem Creek Boat Landing exceeded the maximum level by nearly 4,000 bacterial colonies per 100 milliliters. So it's obvious that rainfall does spike bacterial count within Shem Creek, and in lack of rainfall, the water quality is pretty good. The good news about what Andrew Wonderly is doing with Water Keepers is they post this information every Friday. So if you go on their website, and if you're planning to go out and do recreation in Shem Creek, you do have an idea of what the water quality is, so if you need to take some protective measures, you can do so.
Just one quick question. So just looking at that, it would seem to me that it's runoff that's causing a lot of that, not so much the septic tanks. It would seem that runoff from the rain is running off into there. Would that be a logical?
It does both. I mean, we still would say that the source of pollution is multidimensional. They are doing some more in-depth studies with DNA and determining whether it's animal or human bacteria. Hillary's here. She will be, I think, providing a little more information next month as that report gets more finalized. So there is more information coming on that. And so the rainfall kind of brings all the bacteria to the creek. The question is where's the source? And there are multiple sources. Just want to show you a little bit about, we talked about wastewater, providing wastewater service within the Shem Creek watershed. All these red dots and red spaces, these are properties that are without wastewater service. They're either undeveloped or on septic systems. Here's the outfalls for the town. You see there's a number of outfalls here. These are where the stormwater pipes empty into the Shem Creek area. This yellow line is kind of the ridge line, the what we call the watershed. So all the water that flows, when it rains, all the water that hits the ground within this yellow line flows into one of these outfalls into the creek. If you recall, we talked about the program that we have developed in setting priorities about how we might go about removing septic tanks from the system, be able to tie them on. That was one of the things mentioned in David's article, is that is one of the solutions is to eliminate septic tanks, but also that one of the barriers to taking people off of septic tanks is the cost, and we talked about that before. But our priority is a sixth ranking priority. If a property is on septic, or any property that has sewer service available to it, there's really no cost except the connection fees to the system. Where we say there's an extension required, there's about $1 million that we're planning to, or we are willing to spend to connect other town properties to the system. And then there's a third priority, which is there's a mix of county and town, but there's predominantly town properties. And that's about $750,000 to run lines to those properties. And then the fourth priority is where properties actually have service available, but they're in the county. And as we mentioned before, there's no mandatory connection requirement in Charleston County to require folks that are on set to tie onto the sewer system if it's available. So that would be really no cost, just again the connection fees. And then where we would have to make some extensions, that's our fifth priority. And that's running a little bit above $1 million. So these are how we prioritize these properties. This is a little, I know it's a little bit hard to see because it's dark, but again, here's the boundary. And then a lot of the properties within this area, they are within the priorities that we've set. Hopefully, the in-town properties within Shem Creek would be about 63 properties. And our recommendation is continue to work with Charleston Water Keepers. We're in close contact with them, with the town staff, Hillary, DHEC, in touch with them. And of course, we want to work together with all the other water professionals as we assess the water quality issues in Shem Creek. Of course, our recommendation would be to connect all the septic tanks in the drainage basin to the Mount Pleasant Water Works' wastewater system, and help provide funding, particularly for the town residents, to ease the cost of connection. That's kind of the the biggest barrier, I think, to having folks tie on is the cost. I mean, we're talking, you know, around $10,000. Impact fees are about five, connection fees are $5,000 to $7,000. And of course, we're very interested in finding a solution to the funding issue to help ease that burden on our town citizens. And of course, we would love to see Charlton County declare mandatory connection within our wastewater service area. We're not asking to do it for the entire Charlton County, but just within our wastewater service area to declare mandatory connection. And our request would be that we work cooperatively to ask the county to partner with us and to perhaps provide some funding for the county properties that would need to have some financial assistance to connect to the system. That's our presentation.
Thank you for that, and certainly I think the most Gary was jumping right to the end result, which is certainly what we want to talk about, is what is the solution. And as we know and has been identified and re-reported several times, David, thank you for the great job capturing that in the paper. We know that it's multifaceted, we know that it's complex, but what we haven't seen is significant movement and action towards an end result that's going to get us to a place that sustainable change can happen. Footnoting, the town has taken a lead on that in regards to stormwater runoff, and certainly that needs to be underscored and highlighted in this effort. Eric, that entire stormwater project along Coleman Boulevard, dollar amount that we could attribute to helping clean up this matter would be in the neighborhood of what dollar amount?
Yes, sir. Probably it's roughly half the project, $70 million or so.
So, yeah.
In addition to that, it's dozens of acres of land where the water was untreated is now captured and treated before it's released. In addition to that, mid-July, we get back a report which Union Council had authorized is being done for us as to water quality in the watershed area. Our Public Water Works is a partner on that, and we'll have that analyzed and for your consumption sometime in August, probably August committees first, maybe right here if you're comfortable with it. And so it's a serious matter for us too.
Perfect tee up to where my thoughts are, committee members, and hopefully I think we'll all be unanimous in the support. What I'd recommend, so that we can roll our sleeves up and not be confined to any timelines, rather than just having that report presented to us at the next water supply committee meeting, Joe, Gary, what are your thoughts on perhaps let's set up a special meeting, stakeholder meeting, and let's have a roundtable discussion while we share that results of that report with our partners, and learn from and glean from the significant amount of data. We were able to have a conversation with Rob Devlin.
Yes.
Devlin.
Devlin.
Devlin. And also with him with
David
from DHEC before a recent COG meeting. And Rob was quick to remind me that there is a wealth of information available from DHEC that we want to make sure that we're paying attention to as we're deciding what options we want to have. Certainly the historical data that waterkeepers have, waterkeepers will be involved in that. And I throw it out for discussion, Jerry, Gary and Joe. Should DHEC be invited to that meeting as well? If we're going to be discussing water quality, perhaps we consider that. We could talk about that.
If I may, sir.
Please.
I think that's a very important invitation. You know, as far as I understand it, DHEC permits the septic tanks,
right.
And I've been clear as to the follow-up once it's been permitted. So I think they have an absolute, in addition to they have a role, I think when it comes to septic tanks, they have a role too.
And then lastly, Gary, I was going to throw out this, and then I'm anxious to get some feedback from both you and Joe. So we're talking about DHEC, Charleston Waterkeepers, the county. We should have the county there at the table with us as well, because as pointed out, we have some lots of opportunities to talk about those county properties that are surrounding the area as well. So those are my thoughts, and I'd like to see us take a leadership position on being proactive on that. I think there'll be tremendous support for that, and hopefully we'll be all on that together. Gary, you had your hand up. Let's jump right into
the thoughts. Thank you, Clay. I appreciate that. I really was interested in the first slide that you had up there, showing that when there's no rain or no runoff into the creek, the water level was good. Mm-hmm. But when there's runoff into the creek, it rises. Mm-hmm. And that really, and like I said, I talked about Isle of Palms last time, and when they found out that most of their runoff, most of the issues they were having came from animals. That slide you had there really kind of makes me feel like that might be what we have as well. Because, I mean, septic tanks work every day. Or so we would be getting some type of higher readings during the days that it's not raining. But if the water quality is good when it's not raining and all of a sudden it rains and that water, you know, drains from people's yards, whether it's fertilizer or feces or whatever, it raises much higher. And it seems to me, and I'm not an expert by any means, but it would seem to me that it's the runoff that's causing most of the problem and not the septic tanks. But I'm looking forward to your report. I agree. I think we need to look at that. But by looking at that right there, it kind of leads me to believe that I think our outcome is going to be the same as Isle of Palms came up with. But certainly I'm looking forward to it, and I think we need to get it and see what it says.
Thank you, Gary. Joe, thoughts?
I just want to be clear on which report we're talking about. Are we talking about the Thomas and Hutton report?
No, sir.
No.
That's a different report about just focused on the Shem Creek watershed area, the waterfall.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with the meeting, but I just think we should probably have a meeting before that so that we know what we're talking about
before
we invite a lot of people in to discuss something. So, when that report's finished, I think we ought to get together first.
Yeah, absolutely. So the underscore of that meeting, just to be clear, make sure to restate that again. It's solely based on temporary water quality. Area of water quality and how we can improve that. So all of those stakeholders would have a ton of information that we could be looking at and evaluating through that process. We know that it's multifaceted. The great news is we've taken some action to move forward to doing our part, being good stewards, and taking action on that. Any other thoughts, comments from the floor? From the floor, I see Elton.
Yeah, Elton Carrier, 313 King. Clay, I'm down at the creek almost every day. And is there any way, or have you all discussed as a board, some sort of warning system to the kayakers and the paddleboard companies down there as to when things are dicey as far as the water?
We do not have, Waterkeeper does post the results of their Wednesday sampling by Friday morning. And so I would, and then they don't have any kind of a warning system set up other than to post all of the sample results. They make no, they'll just say that it's higher than the minimum. They would give you that information, or that it would be below. And as we see, pretty much every time it's going to rain during the week, you're going to see elevated bacterial count each week after a rainfall. But yeah, we talked about that this morning, as a matter of fact, what might could be done in addition to their website access. Is there some type of a system, perhaps even tied into the town's website, where that information was shared? I think you have the Notify Me program. We have a Notify Me program that we could help push information out that, you know, elevated levels of bacteria in Shem Creek, and that's all you say.
Right.
That, and here's the numbers.
Still your
make your own decision about whether you swim, a kayak, or a paddleboard.
The paddleboard.
We know, there's, if you plan on doing that, you might want to take some precautionary measures, wear earplugs, nose plugs, that kind of thing, especially if you're going to go on the water.
The other observation is that the fishermen down there at the creek, the ones that fish off the dock, they've seen on high tide, incoming high tide, they've seen a lot of debris come in to the creek from and they're assuming it's from ship discharges. And maybe Gary can address that more. But but I didn't think they could discharge anywhere except 3 miles.
It's supposed to be 3 mile limit on any kind of discharge.
But they've observed that kind of, same kind of debris and nastiness coming into the creek from the outside of the creek.
What Andrew was relaying to us this morning is that their statistics show that mostly on an outgoing tide, you see higher numbers, particularly after a rain, that the income, they want to do some more correlations about income, because we mentioned the Crab Bank, you know, the rookery there, you know, the concentration of birds there, and whether that was going to have an effect. He said, well, yeah, I think we're going to just sample around Crab Bank to see. But basically, the incoming water tends to be better than the outgoing one. So.
Yeah, I think, you know, Clay, I think it would be much easier for people, maybe, you know how the lifeguards do on the beach, how they put up a flag when there's a warning for a rough surf and stuff. It may be at the landings, especially Shen Creek. Have the water keepers, whenever it's higher level, you know, maybe have some type of sign or something where they can post a color they would show, okay, red, that means higher levels, because I'm not sure how many people are going to go on their website and look and see if it's higher levels. It'd be much easier if you pull up and you see that red, then you can say, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm going in here. If it's green, it means it's acceptable level. Something that simple that would cost very little money would certainly warn a lot more people that they've got higher levels of bacteria in there than I think they just put it on the website.
Yep. And that's kind of the thing we were talking with Andrew about, because that was our question, was what kind of right. warning system is there? And the only thing he had available was his website.
Right.
And so that conversation just started this morning.
Right.
And
right.
so and what Elton brought up as well is perhaps we can expand on that thought and come up with a system. Yep. That's great.
Well, the great news is we're having that conversation and the awareness, and then now the key would be is the communication component of it.
Yeah.
It's the cheapest and the most simple way, I think.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Look for low-hanging fruit opportunities.
Other thoughts, comments? Please, Diane.
Diane Lawrence, 705 Redburn Drive. A couple of things. One is there are scientists with DNR that have studied tidal creek pollution for decades. I can give you some names for people to include, but as has been pointed out, there's a lot of information already out there, and it's, you know, pollutants in addition to fecal coliform bacteria that we need to be concerned about.
Thank you.
You know, there's certainly the possibility of developing simple apps that tie rainfall to, you know, warning systems that could probably address some of the concerns. But again, with respect to waterworks, we want to tie people on who are in the town who have sewer available. And you know, yes, we do have properties in Shin Creek, but we have properties all around the town. And so having that rebate from the town would allow us to be able to offer a rebate to the customers who tie. Move forward with that, because we have people in Snowden that are not LMI who want to tie on, and we would be able to help them this year.
Well, certainly I think you'll see it seems like this committee is interested in moving forward, and we'll definitely schedule that discussion as quickly as we can. And as Eric indicated, it sounds like August as early as next month, so we'll the day is still June, but this is our July meeting, so within 30 days we'll be moving forward with gathering information from all the stakeholders. And thank you for reaffirming DHEC and all that information as a key component to that, and then we can make informed decisions to move forward, which would include addressing all facets of cleaning up the water. Joe?
Yeah, Clay, is there any data people who've become ill or suffered from the ill effects of, you know, unclean water in the in Shem Creek?
I don't have any information relative to people that have gotten sick. The standard of 104 bacterial colonies per 100 milliliters is based on studies done in the 70s, where epidemiologists would look at no more than 19 cases of, say, swimmer's ear or sore throat or whatever per 1,000 citizens is the number they use, and how they relate 104 to those 19 per 1,000 cases. I couldn't tell you this, it's old studies, but that's the basis of that 104 number, that if you kept it below 104, you'd have less than 19 people get sick.
And as you probably remember, in the early 2000s, there was a study done where they found the flushing action of Shem Creek in the upper reaches was so little.
40 days.
Yeah, yeah. That it didn't. Yeah. You know, that's where a lot of this was. It just never left. It
took 40 days.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, is that still part of this? I would assume it is.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, that's a great point, too.
You got hydrology issues, you've got stormwater issues, purging issues, runoff, all of that. It is multidimensional.
So, Clay, we know the answers to these questions, but just to have this on the record again, as that, and Eric, as that stormwater goes into and more of these properties tie into our improved town stormwater system, that water is then treated and then put back out into the community. You want to just talk from an elementary perspective on that, how that's part of the solution to help water quality. I think it's important just to highlight that from a high level.
I'm happy to defer to Eric and
Hillary. Our in-house guru is here.
Stormwater side?
Please.
Yeah. It just gets processed through a cleaning mechanism that has to be maintained. But it just makes sure that discharge is clean water going in. So, and part of that's a requirement. It's been a requirement for a while. But it is, the water coming from that Coleman area is likely have been contributing to some issue with water quality in Shell Creek. As I mentioned, I think it was 24 acres, maybe it was more than that. That's all that watershed now is being cleaned. So how much of an impact it has on the water quality, I don't know, but it will have some.
Absolutely. Hillary, is there anything where, I want to just give you an opportunity, is there anything that we're not saying that should be said at this point?
All new land development and redevelopment has to come up to stormwater standards, both for flood control and water quality of projects over a certain size. So we are seeing, especially in redevelopment, sites that used to be 100% untreated runoff now installing management systems on there. And that will be a part of our study. We're pulling the same, the DNR studies and the DHEC studies will be all a part of our report and our background information.
Great.
At some point, they'll be looking at setting what they call a TMDL, it's total maximum daily load in the creek, and then there'll be goals set to try to meet that maximum load to keep the load below a certain level at all times.
Eric, I remember walking through the gravel parking lot with the RLC there in it and taking a picture of that drain there and asking a question. Where does the water that's going into this drain in all of this ROC going, and being numb when I heard the answer? Oh, that drain goes directly into Shem Creek. So certainly they were testing that. So knowing that that water is no longer going directly into Shem Creek as a citizen and as an elected official certainly is refreshing. Back to Hillary's point that it's everywhere now, and that's the standard as we move forward that's required. So. All the great stuff that municipalities are doing to be good stewards to making sure we're protecting those natural resources.
But I think we're missing something here, because I was over in Shemwood the other day, and by the Shemwood Lake, that overflows because the capacity of a drain there, which goes into a pipe, which goes directly to Shem Creek. Apparently it's too small. Yeah, I don't know, or maybe it's clogged. But that water actually flows over a backyard and into the marsh of Shem Creek and would pick up everything that's in that yard, which would be fertilizer and dog droppings, whatever. How are we addressing that with the
we've been pushing for more regulatory authority over privately owned ponds, because we don't have that. It's not from y'all, it would come from the state, not from town council. But there are ponds in town that we own, and we maintain, and we make sure that they're operating properly, so you don't have that, or that type of situation that you just described is minimized. But when it comes to privately owned ponds, it's much more difficult, and our authority is limited.
Well, then our stormwater, we can't go to the owner and tell them they need to do something about this?
We have several times in several privately owned projects. Some have complied, some have not. But we have little teeth to enforce.
Yeah, because, I mean, when that happens, we own the pollution.
Yeah.
Right. But we don't own the cost.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if there is any positive light in that very concerning statement would be, as we continue to take incremental steps in this multifaceted problem, the education in the community, and if David will continue to write good stories and timely stories, we can continue to educate our constituents and all work towards a common good. Every little step that we take is the right step toward the end result that we want to achieve, right?
I agree. I think one great thing will come out of this report, so that's giving us a lot of data, giving y'all a lot of data to be able to process and develop over policy that you see required, is it's going to give us more tools to be able to fight this fight than what we have today. And Clay mentioned in his presentation about requesting from the county the ability to require, attack. And we see the same thing, particularly as it comes to private ponds and things like that. It gives us more authority and ability to help make sure we put everything in place to clean the water as it should be cleaned.
Good. Any final thoughts, comments? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on. I'm sorry, before we move on, let's just spend a few moments on the response to the mother's concern regarding water quality. Clay, can we just maybe address that from a Water Works perspective in terms of our water quality? We have tests that we do, and just want to be on the record responding to those concerns of those mothers.
There's been a lot of social media and some national media attention that started about 3 days ago. We have some postings about sad situation where one mother had lost a young child from a brain tumor. Another had a son that actually has recovered from a brain tumor. And there's a lot of social media driving this issue. Obviously, one of the first things people started pointing to was, is it in the water? What's the commonality amongst these folks? In some respects, we understand the question. However, we've been in close contact with the mayor, with DHEC, to be sure that that Mount Pleasant Water Works, that our water quality is meets all the standards. So the first thing we have done is been in contact with DHEC. We got affirmation this morning via email. We asked them, we said, for us to be able to speak directly to the media, we want to be sure that you and we are on the same page, and had an affirmation that, all drinking water in the United States is regulated by the states and the EPA. They set the standards for water quality standards, maximum contaminant limits, and they set the sampling requirements and the reporting requirements. And the good news is that Charleston Water System and Mount Pleasant Water Works are in full compliance with all the state and federal regulations relative to water quality. We're in full compliance. So we have no reason to believe that drinking water in Mount Pleasant is attributable to any of these diseases. We would just hope that folks will help educate folks that this is not the case. Obviously, on social media, much information gets thrown around. A lot of opinions get thrown around that's not based on fact, but opinion. And then, obviously, some of these things go quite viral.
Right.
And that's unfortunate because some folks get spun up about something that may not be an issue. The second thing that's going on is that the DHEC has been in contact with CDC in Atlanta and looked at how you declare a cluster of diseases that might have a common cause and some commonalities. There's a four-step process that you have to go through to get to the final declaration of a cluster. DHEC has been working on that, and I was made aware of this morning that they will not be declaring this a cluster. So that's good news as well. So again, it's our water quality reports are all on our website. There is people can see our information. It's all open. All of our testing, we're glad to cooperate with the health professionals, DHEC, to the fullest extent possible that the water system may be involved. We're happy to help. There is some information in our 2015 water quality report relative to sampling done around chromium, which is, we all know that is has been noted as a source of cancers causing agent. We participated in a survey of unregulated contaminants. Chromium, hexavalent chromium, is an unregulated contaminant. There is no maximum limit. We did sample our water, and Charleston sampled their water. There was none detected in the reverse osmosis water. There was a de minimis amount, just slightly above detection in the Charleston water system, which would put us well below any limits that we think would be set. There is no standard set for chromium and sodium chromium, but we participated in that survey just to help DHEC gather information about these unregulated contaminants and the possibility that they may exist in public water. So the good news is that is not a constituent of concern for us or the health department at this time.
Well, thank you for being proactive and staying on top of that. And Mayor, also, if I may, thank you for immediately responding when called upon, taking leadership position on that as well. And I know, I don't want to speak for you, I know that you had spoke to several of our federal elected officials as well. Just a quick update from the Mayor's perspective on this issue.
I think Clay covered it well. Clay and I have been in very close contact since all this started. The first day I was in contact with DHEC, they have finished the reports. I had a conference call with them as well yesterday afternoon with the scientists involved and reviewing what the CDC required. And I got the same notice that there is no identifiable cluster. I believe the news media has been contacted as well. We, as a town, obviously are just devastated by any changes in any child's health. And we'll continue to pray for the families and do all we can to make sure that there are no contaminants that are affecting children here.
Right. Any other thoughts, committee members, comments on that? All right.
Absolutely. I think you guys are doing the right job. I think I support everything that you're doing.
Thanks, Gary. Thank you. Jim.
Yeah, Jim Owens, 1197 Island. Clay, you spoke about you and Charleston Water Systems. Charleston Water Systems, you correct me if I'm wrong, you know more about it than I do, but there's a feed off of 41 that comes directly from Charleston Water Systems. Is the area that was in question about all of this, is that a direct feed from them, or do y'all treat that as it go through you?
It is. There's a meter on Highway 41, and that area along Highway 41 is a direct feed from Charleston Water Systems. We have two direct feeds from Charleston. One in I-526 and one in Highway 41.
Right. Was there, do you know whether or not there were any samples taken from any of these folks that were involved in the...
We have not sampled the homes where the children have been affected. There's been no direct sampling of that area. We do all the sampling that's required. We do 40 samples a month throughout our system, throughout the system, at random locations. So there's been no direct sampling of those homes. Okay. We'd certainly be glad to do it if it's called for.
Sure, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Get something. Okay. Be good. All right. Let's go to item number four. Our just a quick update on the DHEC regional water plan. Clay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The technical advisory committee of the COG met the other day to review three permits for withdrawal in the Trident area. There's about 28 committee members. Some of them are very new. Obviously, the water quality management plan is a new document to get our head around. And basically, I think at the end of the day, the committee felt that we can only say that the request for the permits for withdrawal were reasonable. And basically, to the ball back to DHEC, they are in three permit requests. Was a farmer for drilling a new well, a cement manufacturer that's going to use water temporarily, and then Dorchester County Water and Sewer Authority is putting in a water supply well for their system. All of these wells are in the 400-foot depth. They would not interfere with the Mid-North Aquifer, which is about 1,800 to 2,000 feet deep. So I think the committee in total felt that it was okay to go ahead and permit those and move on. I know everybody's interested in the Google permit for the Magoo application. They are, I think, revising their permit request, and we would anticipate reviewing that permit later in the summer. We don't know exactly when that might happen. The Technical Advisory Committee is going to meet again on July the 13th, and I think at this meeting we're going to dig in more to the plan, the criteria in the plan, and come to some common agreement as to the criteria that we use as a committee to make a recommendation of whether to approve or deny a permit.
Awesome. So we're headed in the right direction.
We are.
Great.
Great. Any committee, any comments, thoughts on that? Anything from the floor? All right. Again, just a quick recap before we leave. Our only decision that we made in action will be to schedule a stakeholder meeting after that report is made available to us with the named stakeholders and any others that we deem necessary as a follow-up. I think we're good on that. Yep. Anything else?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned. All right. And we'll jump right into the Economic Development Committee.
Yeah. Thank you.